You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best coverage analysis of all things orange and blue related. We're very stoked to be back with you guys here once again for another episode of the show. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the NFL. You guys can check out some of my work over there at the Fan Side of Networks, predominantlyorange.com, as well as Cameron, my co-host, who joins me here today on this beautiful Monday. Hope you guys are having a nice drive to work. Cam, how was your weekend, man? A lot of Broncos-related stuff. You know, Broncos bringing back some depth, as well as adding to the narrative that it doesn't really matter what you do in the NFL. If you have a coach that can lead guys, you're going to have free agents that are flocking over.
Absolutely. It was a pretty good weekend. And I guess we should say that with the slew of moves that the Broncos have made, you know, it takes you a while for, you know, you to recover, because there was just so much action and jam packed signings for Denver that, you know, either it was signings that we didn't think were going to happen just because of money and what have you, as far as will they have enough room, or, well, OK, so now that this guy's signed, how many moves do we see happening in the future? It's a lot to certainly process, should we say. So it's an exciting time, really, if you're a Denver Broncos fan, because, you know, there's just been a lot of change, and there really should have been a lot of change to begin with.
Yeah, the Broncos needed a complete overhaul in terms of culture and change from 2017 to 2018. And if you look at every single move that has happened, that has been the premise of this offseason. It has been nothing but change, and people are scared of change. But I tell you what, the Broncos have really embraced change, because let's talk about this. The moment that before Vance Joseph was fired and the players did their end of the year, you know, media tour, you know, in their locker room and everything like that, there was a lot of talk. I mean, even Chris Harris Jr. made some comments that I want to win. You know, I don't, you know, I can't keep going through this stuff. That right there put a lot of Broncos fans on edge and scared a lot of Broncos fans, because look, historically, and every single sports team has experienced some of their key players leaving to go elsewhere, because, you know, you endure losing season after losing season, it becomes tough. But I'd say, looking here at March 18th and taking a look back to January 1st, it is a complete change, Cam. It is completely different than what we had experienced during those gloomy winter days in December and January, just hoping, just waiting for the season to get over so we could possibly see some changes. And the whole entire organization has experienced changes, good changes too. And we're going to talk about that on today's episode of the show, segment number one. We're going to go through our daily Broncos rundown. We're going to take a look at one of the signings that had occurred over the weekend. The Broncos decided to bring back a key player that adds to their depth, and he can be a potential fit and Coach Fangio's defense, as well as we get to hear a little bit from what Bryce Callahan had to say and why he came to Denver. And we're going to analyze the Coach Fangio effect in segment number one. And in segment number two, we're going to take a look at the free agency forecast. We're going to take a look at all the key signings that address major holes for the Broncos in free agency. And then we're going to lead that into segment number three. We're going to hear from our Reddit AMA at the Denver Broncos subreddit, draft plans after free agency, taking a look at some areas of focus. We hear from Broncos Country in our Reddit AMA on where the Broncos should go with pick number 10, given the fact that they had a very, very productive free agency period. So, Cam, let's dive right into it. The Broncos, they're bringing back Zach Kerr to a two-year deal. You know, one thing I like about this move is that he is a depth guy. He's a guy that when he was in on reps, and I say the same thing for Shelby Harris too, when Zach Kerr or even Shelby Harris were on the field, they did make their presence felt. Zach Kerr, very, very strong guy. I think he has the ability to play that three technique that the Broncos need in Coach Fangio's scheme, or a one technique. He's a guy that can take up two gaps. He can cause, you know, he's a guy that will plug up in the middle that offensive lineman will be forced to try to double team. That opens things up for your inside linebackers, which we're going to have to, you know, address that in some way, shape, or form. The Broncos have in-house options already with Todd Davis, Josie Jewell, But this was a nice re-signing, and I like that. And one of the things that Zach Kerr had said was he looked at all the moves that the Broncos were making during this free agency period, and he said, this is something I want to be part of. Now, we just talked about it a little bit. In December and January, we would have never believed that type of statement if things were the way they were.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it probably would have changed if say, the Broncos didn't make the types of moves that they did. And I don't really like doing the whole comparison thing. But in reality, Cody, this really has been it's not been like 2014 in some ways, but it has been in some ways, just for the simple fact that the Broncos are making moves. They got their quarterback. And then now you are starting to have guys come to Denver, maybe not because of the quarterback, but because they're starting to sense a rebirth, a resurgence from the Denver Broncos. And the fact that some of the players, and the players aren't stupid. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns. I mean, there's a massive rebirth going with the Cleveland Browns. And there's one team that's honestly really needed a rebirth. It's been the Cleveland Browns, and they want to go there. Players want to go to the Cleveland Browns. Well, players are now starting, it seems like, in particular with this offseason, they're seeing what's transpiring in Denver, and they want to come here. And there was one Broncos free agent that said that it was at the top of their destination. I believe it was Bryce Callahan, and we'll talk about that here soon. But yeah, so I mean, guys are already recognizing the fact that there's something cooking in that Denver Broncos oven, and they want a part of it.
They absolutely do, and I think a lot of it has to do with Coach Fangio. So let's talk about the Coach Fangio effect here. Obviously, Bryce Callahan had a chance to play with Coach Fangio, and you know, one of the things is there's some familiarity there. He loves the fact that one of the things he said was, in terms of Denver being the top choice, he knows that Coach Fangio will put the guys in positions to succeed. He knows how to line them up correctly in defense, and he plays to the strengths of his players. That, to me, says everything about a player's coach, and not necessarily a guy who's like always for the players, but players make, you know, they love playing for him because he makes it easy and he has expectations that are clear cut, and he's not a guy that will negotiate. That's one thing I like about Coach Fangio. And you know what, there was a narrative that had been played out a little bit from social media saying that, you know, Coach Fangio would be a guy that probably wouldn't really like to interact with the media. And I tell you what, he's done a fine job. I mean, he's got a great sense of humor. He seems relaxed. I'm excited about what Coach Fangio has already brought to the table. Now, here's the thing though, I want to be realistic with Broncos fans because I think it's important, and this is just me being fair. Now, I think people have the expectations that the Broncos should turn things around from, you know, the season that they had and automatically become a team that goes 12-4 or 11-5 or 10-6. I would have to say, like, we can't expect that from the organization just yet, because guess what? Games still have to be played. We still have the training camp process. We still have the draft. We still have preseason and the regular season. Things can change. The Broncos have a very, very tough schedule this upcoming season, but I'll tell you this, the moves that they have made, Cam, have been absolutely monumental into maybe matching the strength of that schedule. And Bryce Callahan bringing that edge to as a nickel corner. Kareem Jackson also mentioned that, you know, the Broncos were his top place to go. And one thing I really liked about Bryce Callahan was that he mentioned that while he was in Chicago, a guy he really tried to model his game after, Chris Harris Jr. And guess what? He gets a chance to be his teammate this upcoming season.
Absolutely. And I really do think that there's that chance where I think that the one thing that I'm probably more excited about this year, I mean, that's not to poo-poo at all what the Broncos did with, you know, re-signing or bringing in Aqib Talib and addressing that particular secondary in 2014. But to me, it really seems like the Denver Broncos just have a lot of versatility and a lot of options this time, in particular with the type of defense that Vic Fangio wants to run. I mean, you want to talk about maybe a lot of mismatch issues, you know, for a potential offense. I mean, you could put Kareem Jackson on a tight end for that matter. I mean, you could put Bryce Callahan in on the outside, move Chris Harris Jr. on the inside. There's just a lot of options that the Denver Broncos can go to on a defense. And when you have, it doesn't matter necessarily if, you know, you're a Vic Fangio or a Wade Phillips, but if you're at the top of your class as a defensive coordinator and you have that type of versatility and options at your disposal of being a defensive mastermind, that's next to none. And if you can have that as a defense, you're going to go incredibly far, in my opinion, just in particular as a defense. Maybe that's making too much out of the potential signings, but the fact that they now have an incredible amount of versatility with Bryce Callahan and with Chris Harris Jr. and now Kareem Jackson, it bodes incredibly well this year. And I think that the one we're talking about, you know, the Vic Fangio effect. Well, one of the keys too with Bryce Callahan that he mentioned is a player that's not on the roster anymore. And he mentioned that Jordan Taylor was one of the key recruiters that says, hey, you should come to Denver. And we don't know what the future holds for Jordan Taylor, but Jordan Taylor definitely felt positive about his stay in Denver for him to recruit Bryce Callahan here.
Yeah, he really did. And unfortunately for Jordan Taylor, just the injuries kind of derailed his opportunities, because I thought he was going to take a big step last year. But unfortunately, having that double hip surgery, he's just never ready to play in 2018. And that's unfortunate, but definitely nothing but respect for Jordan Taylor. One of the things, too, is that the Broncos, the moves that they've made, look, everyone's like, okay, they have to become this offensive juggernaut that can score 45 points a game, you know, trying to replicate the model of the Kansas City Chiefs. But they're having a really terrible offseason, the Chiefs are. I wouldn't really want to be in their shoes right now, despite the year that they had last season. But the thing was, is that Denver is counteracting the potential opportunities for that type of offense by adding a lot of these defensive pieces. It's a chess game. And Coach Fangio, I like his opportunity, his ability to play chess with anybody that calls the offensive side of the ball. But coming up here in segment number two, we're going to analyze some of these re-signings a little bit more in depth for what they really bring to the table for the Broncos and what it forecasts for the NFL draft next month when the Broncos pick at pick number 10. But before we jump into that, I got to tell you guys, check out Locked On Nuggets with Adam Adas. Nuggets coming off of a big win at home over the Indiana Pacers, a very, very tough team. They overcome some adversity with Nikola Jokic being thrown out by Tony Brothers. Hear it all. Hear the recap from Adam Adas and Locked On Nuggets. I know we're all excited about the free agency moves that the Broncos have made so far, and I thought it'd be good. Now that everything is almost officially official, I don't believe the Broncos will make any more moves in free agency. It just doesn't seem like it makes much sense there. Now, a lot of people want Domantas Pekka to be back. I think that would be a great move for the Broncos, but financially, I just don't think it is possible at this point. Now, I don't know right now what the official cap space is looking like for the Broncos, but let's take a look at the free agent signings that they have brought in. Now, we talked about Kareem Jackson is the number one guy they brought in at the first day of the legal tampering period, as well as Juwan James in that same regard. Those are the two big guys, and they have pretty big contracts. Bryce Callahan, they brought him in as well. Joe Flacco obviously coming over via trade from the Ravens. Jeff Heuerman re-signing him to a two-year deal. Zach Kerr to a two-year deal, and a tender deal for Shelby Harris. Now look, they addressed two cornerbacks, they addressed two defensive linemen, they got a quarterback, they brought back their tight end, and they also added a very, very pivotal right tackle. So one of the things I want to take a look at in this deep dive is, in terms of projected cap space, if the Broncos are done with free agency, they have to have around $8.5 million for the upcoming draft for the rookies that they are going to sign. That's almost a given. So financially, I just don't see how it would work out if the Broncos made any more moves. I think they addressed almost every major issue, which a lot of people wanted them to address, you know, an issue at inside linebacker with a guy like C.J. Mosley. Well, we saw the market for inside linebackers. It changed drastically. It became almost too expensive for what the Broncos wanted to do. But there are some options, and we're going to talk about a couple options right here. But then we're going to get a little bit more in-depth in segment number three, where we head to Reddit for our Broncos subreddit plan for the draft after free agency. We're going to hear from Broncos country. But inside linebacker, I think the Broncos have options there with Devin White if he's available. I highly doubt he will be available, but if the Broncos really do want a guy like Devin White, they may have to trade up in order to get him. Another option, though, that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, Cam, you and I have been talking about this guy, Devin Bush. I watched his pro day, just how fluid he is in his hips. If you watch his pro day, he does some of those drills a lot better than some defensive backs do. To me, I like what I saw from Devin Bush, and I think he would be a guy that is there at pick number 10, but what are some other holes on this roster do you think that the Broncos could address in the draft?
Well, so here's the thing, and I don't honestly think that tight end, I thought it was one of the underrated positions that the Broncos could select there at 10. That's not to say that they could trade back and take a guy like a Noah Fant or maybe an Irv Smith, but I still think that they do address tight end, whether it's in the first round, second round, third round, whether or not. I think that they do address the position because of how deep it is, you know. But you mention about Devin Bush, and really the one thing that I think is so fascinating, and we always think of the connections, right? Especially with just particular players and just in particular with how it fits with a certain team. Well, there's really two players that, at least that we know of, that there is a particular connection with Vic Fangio. If you go and you look at Vic Fangio and in general his coaching tree, you know, I believe Sarah was mentioning it to me. He actually, Vic Fangio, coached at Stanford in 2010 as the defensive coordinator. Well, Cody, who was the head coach at Stanford at that point in time? Jim Harbaugh. And if you look at it now, Jim Harbaugh is the head coach at Michigan. I'm pretty sure they probably stay in contact every once in a while. So I'm sure that they are in the know as far as Devin Bush is concerned. But yeah, Devin Bush, I mean, he's a terrific athlete. And people like to knock size for a quarterback. Well, it seems like they might be doing a little bit of that with Devin Bush and Devin White. Well, there's nothing Devin Bush does that Devin White, you know, can't do. I mean, they're both exceptionally athletic. They're both very talented. They both have similar traits. Devin Bush is just smaller. And we need to get rid of that narrative. And I think that he absolutely fits what the Denver Broncos want to do. And if they feel like Devin Bush is that guy at 10, then you have to consider all options. But the fact is, as we've seen with John Elway before, he addresses every single need that he can, whether it's an appropriate need or not. We can debate that. But he addresses those particular needs on paper. And when it gets to the NFL draft, it's always best player available. Always. At least that's what it seems like. And so the fact is, the Broncos now have everything on the table. They can take a tight end. They can take a right guard, or they can take a tackle if they wanted to groom for the future. They can take a defensive lineman like an Ed Oliver if he just magically falls to 10. They can trade back and take a Noah Fant or an Irv Smith, whose dad was actually on the staff with Vic, or on the team when Vic Fangio was linebacker coach with the Saints. So they can take an Irv Smith. They can take another tight end later in the rounds. I mean, there's just a variety of options that they can go to now. So the fact is that everything is on the table.
One, I think too, looking at areas of focus, inside backer, offensive line, definitely not in the first round though. Definitely would not go O-line in round number one. Wide receiver, you could get that a little bit later on, and maybe a quarterback of the future. Like I said, I'm not completely sold on this year's draft class. Some of the moves this offseason have suggested that the Broncos may not take a quarterback in this year's draft. I know there's a lot riding on 2020. 2020's draft class is going to have more solidified guys, more solidified options. We talked about John Elway's love for Justin Herbert. There's still a way to make that happen. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, if the Broncos improve in 2019, they may not be in position to draft. Well, I think the Broncos, because if they really wanted a guy like Justin Herbert in a very, very good quarterback class, where you probably won't see many teams next year looking for a quarterback, I think that the Broncos have an opportunity to move up if that were the case, if they could turn things around a little bit in 2019. But we're going to get to that coming up here in segment number three. We're going to hear from our Reddit community on the Denver Broncos subreddit. Broncos Country gives their thoughts. If pick number 10 was on the clock, they were the general manager, and you had a multitude of options, what position do they go in the draft based on the moves they've made in free agency? What areas of focus? We talked about it: inside backer, offensive line, wide receiver, quarterback, some more depth at safety possibly. Broncos Country, answer the call at the Denver Broncos subreddit. We took to the subreddit over there at reddit.com for the Denver Broncos. And one of the questions we had asked Broncos Country over there at the Reddit community, which I highly encourage you guys to do it, be united in orange. I got 52,000 subscribers in the Denver Broncos subreddit, and you should be part of that as well. So head on over there and check it out. And don't forget to drink some orange mango body armor. I tell you what, I've already gone through the first case. Second case is in the fridge. That is my go-to every single day. Very, very healthy for you. And it is the go-to for the Locked On Broncos podcast. But we went to the Broncos subreddit and we talked about, based on the moves that the Broncos had made during the free agency period, they addressed major concerns at cornerback, which was, in my opinion, the biggest hole the Broncos needed to fill this offseason, with the fact that Bradley Roby was more than likely gone in Denver and Chris Harris Jr. needed somebody behind him. They added two guys. They added stability at right tackle with Juwan James. They got Joe Flacco, who the plan for him right now is not to be a 1 to 2 year project. If he can come in and play and be, impactful on the field and the Broncos have success, they won't go away from Joe Flacco as long as he can play. And then you also have Jeff Heuerman at tight end. They brought him back, and the concern and the hope for them is that they can bring him back and he can stay healthy in 2019. Through his entire career, he's battled injury issues, whether that's an ACL, whether that's the broken ribs from last year. The hope in 2019 is that Jeff Heuerman can be that guy that stays healthy. And if he can stay healthy, he can be a big target in Rich Scangarello's offense. Zach Kerr adds more defensive line depth, as always. We talked about a little bit earlier, and that's a good move for the Broncos. Shelby Harris, Zach Kerr, in-house guys that can fulfill a need on the defensive line with Bill Collar still returning as a D-line coach. And the more I think about it, the coaching staff for the Broncos, you got Coach Fangio, Ed Donatale, Bill Collar. It's fierce. That is prestige right there. Mike Munchak, I mean, that's a lot of years of NFL coaching experience there, so that's something to be excited about as well. But we talked about some areas of focus for the Broncos, mainly at inside linebacker being one of them. Offensive line could be one, especially at center or guard. We talk about Dalton Risner, a guy who wants to be on the Broncos. He's got a scheduled visit for them once he takes his visits during that period. Right before the NFL draft, he's scheduled to come and meet with John Elway and the organization. And then wide receiver, you know, the Broncos didn't necessarily get a burner as a lot of people thought they would in free agency. So for them, they have a lot of good in-house options. Emmanuel Sanders on track, ready to go, ahead of schedule on his Achilles recovery. And then maybe quarterback of the future. Could that be an area they look at in this year's NFL draft? Like I said, I have my concerns. I'm not completely sold on it. So for me, I would say no. I would say maybe look to get your quarterback of the future next year. So with the 10th pick, where does the team go now? Still learning to be said, best player available at 10. I like that, but what are some potential options for who could be the best player available? I posed the question, if Ed Oliver, Quinnen Williams, or Devin White were available at pick number 10, hypothetically, I asked him who he would select if he were John Elway. The Rhinoceros 93 says, Quinnen Williams for sure. White might turn into a great player. Williams already is one. We're talking J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald type impact. You don't pass up on that. If he makes it out of the top three, I will eat my hat. And Rhinoceros, I tell you what, man, I don't think he's going to make it out of the top three. To be honest with you, I think San Francisco goes there. And we get into that a little bit there. I kind of mentioned that in a comment that I would see San Francisco being a possible option for them. And the Rhinoceros replied, the only thing in San Francisco has invested several top 10 picks into interior D-line over the last few years. I think they go pass rusher even with D Ford and the acquisition of them. They need too badly, and they already have Buckner and Armstead on the inside. Yeah, I like that. The two Oregon guys. Publius 1993 says, Devin White, hands down. The idea of Chubb, Miller, and White terrorizing the opposition gets me all hot and bothered. I'd like that. I mean, Devin White, here's the thing with the Broncos at inside linebacker. There is a ton of buzz surrounding Devin White just because he is a very versatile player. I just don't think he's going to be available at pick number 10. I think he's going to go in the top 5, top 6. Tampa Bay looks very, very appealing for a guy like Devin White. In all honesty, it really, really is. But I do like Devin Bush as well. A guy that doesn't get talked about enough. Very, very versatile. I after seeing his pro day performance and seeing how he can move and going back and watch a little bit of film there, I'm going to watch a little bit of an in-depth film analysis on both Devin White and Devin Bush and kind of compare them and see what one does better than the other. I mean, that's going to be a hard thing to do, but both talented Devins at interior linebacker, which the Broncos need some versatility there. And, you know, to be honest with you, they have Todd Davis, who I think you can make your primary run stopper, and you can sub him with Josie Jewell, but you have to have that guy that can cover and also stop the run as well. And Devin White, Devin Bush, those are two prospects that the Broncos could get early in the draft to maybe do that. But yes, I think that would be a huge thing. Why Me 911 says, Devin White, pennants won. He says, White seems like the most obvious pick at 10 at this point. With Elway's comments on Flacco, it really seems they trust him as a starter going forward until he proves otherwise, but they'll still draft a developmental guy later. Brett Rypien is one I've pegged as matching both Elway and Scangarello's wants in a guy that can take snaps under center, read the defense, throw with timing. The whole works in that he is compared to Nick Mullins. But Rypien is a fourth or fifth rounder that should give us space to get a cornerback like Amani Oruye to be the big body corner we're lacking right now, or a complimentary wide receiver to Sutton like A.J. Brown or Riley Ridley that can really open up with Scangarello. I like the Riley Ridley pick there because he reminds me a lot of a very speedy guy you could line up in the slot, kind of Deshaun Hamilton, but more so big body compared to Deshaun Hamilton. He says getting an interior O-line in the second or third round would be huge too. Lots of good centers and guards that will be available. We mentioned Dalton Risner is one. Connor McGovern, the other Connor McGovern. Could you imagine if the Broncos had two of those? He also says overall free agency really set us up to have some free capital going into the draft where we can really take the highly talented players in prime spots rather than focusing on need. And I think it really all goes back. I think Coach Fangio kind of revealed the formula to us at, I would say, the NFL scouting combine. He came out and he mentioned, he said, you know, we're not here to draft for need. We're going to draft best player available. And that kind of gave us a little insight. And certainly their free agency signings definitely proved that to be something that they put into reality. And both John Elway, Coach Fangio, constant communication with one another. You have to have that. And it seems like they're on the same page, which bodes well for the Broncos organization. And I tell you what, I've gotten feedback too from a lot of fans that really Coach Fangio looks more ready, looks more confident, and Joe Flacco looks confident and more calm than Vance Joseph and Case Keenum did in their tenure in Denver. Now, one thing I'm excited about is really there's no ambiguity with Coach Fangio. He's a straight shooter. He tells you how it is, and that's one thing I've always appreciated about him in the media is that he gives a clear cut. He doesn't, you know, work around questions. He gives the best answer that he can, or that, you know, if a question is asked where he can't answer it, he does pretty well to kind of address it without really giving any information away. So Coach Fangio, John Elway, 110% on board. And look, I'm telling you, the Broncos offseason moves, I'm very excited about it, but I'm also approaching it with, you know, caution and optimism at the same exact time. Do I expect them to go 12-4 in this upcoming season? I don't necessarily believe that. I mean, that would be nice, but I don't think we should get into the habit of trying to predict that things are going to turn around. Look, you can make all these moves and the product still sometimes it takes time. Coach Fangio said, you know, it's not about just turning around after just one season. It's going to take some time for the Broncos, and hopefully it's a 1 to 2 year thing where maybe they're more competitive in 2019, but maybe they get over the competitive hump and start get back to competing in the playoffs again in 2020. I mean, that's how we have to look at it. It's not just a simple snap of the finger and bam, they went from an 11-21 two seasons from 2017, 2018 to 12-4 and then maybe 14-2 the next year. I mean, it's just, that's unrealistic. So we got to take it as it comes. And it's a very, very tough schedule. But like I said earlier, I think the Broncos moves kind of balance out maybe how tough the divisional games are going to be in the AFC West, as well as the other games against the NFC North. Those teams are making moves too, where they're either rising or they're falling. That's how the NFL free agency works. You can change a lot in your organization through free agency. And we've seen that this year with the Broncos. And that's going to be our Broncos thought of the day too. What is the difference in culture from 2018 to now? Very excited about it because it's much different. Change is good, and the Broncos are fully embracing that. But that'll do it for today's episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Want to thank all you guys in Broncos country for listening to us once again. As always, thank you for making us your go-to for all things Broncos related. Also, if you guys have some time, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, preferably. Tell us what you love about the show. Tell us why you listen to Locked On Broncos every single day. Thank you for making us the go-to. Huge, huge month. We are on track for 32,000 downloads in the month of March. Absolutely phenomenal. Couldn't have done it without you, Broncos country. But we will see you again tomorrow for another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast.